We started talking last week about the vision of our church, and really it's not specific to just our church. It has application for all believers, but this is what God has called us to be a focusing on, and this is what God has called us to be doing. We talked last week about the importance of reaching out to others. We have been looking at three words that describe who we are: reach, grow, and love. We're supposed to reach the lost and the hurting. We're supposed to be people that grow spiritually, and we're supposed to be people who love God and love others. And we began looking at this aspect of reach. We said it's our concern for other people that will motivate us to reach other people. You know, we need to begin to change our mentality of church. Many times we come to church with the mentality of what's in it for me, or how can I benefit from the church service, which is not bad in itself, but the local church has to be more than just what's in it for me. We have to have a bigger picture of ourselves. We come together week after week to build ourselves up, to develop our relationships, to grow spiritually, so that we can accomplish something greater together. The church wasn't created just to bless us. It's not just here to bless its members. The church exists to accomplish a task. We're here to win people to Jesus. Corporately, that's why we're here. We're here to impact others for Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, let's take a look there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building." Our influence depends on how well we can work together with God. We're working with God. If you're going to make a difference in this world, you're going to have to be good at working with God. You're going to have to know who He is. Because in ourselves, we have nothing to offer. It's all Him. He works through us. He speaks through us. We pray and His power flows through us. It's Him. So if we're going to be influential for Him, we have to know Him and be good at working with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Again, we see the same concept that we are working for Him and with Him. The Bible says that we are ambassadors. What is the role of an ambassador? What is their purpose? The role of an ambassador is to speak on behalf of the one that sends them. That's who we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to speak on behalf of the one that sent us. Also, to promote the interest of the one that sent us. Just like people, God too has interest that He wants people to know about. We find those interests right here in the Word of God. God has spoken to us about things that are important to Him, things that He would like people to know about Him. And we're going to take a look at those interests this morning. God has three primary interests that He wants people to know about. We can discover these. The first one's found in the four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see throughout the gospel accounts that there is a theme there, and that theme is reaching the lost, that people who do not know the Lord, that's who lost people are, people who don't know God. God is interested in them coming to know Him. Jesus came to reach the lost. This is the first and foremost priority of God, the lost, reaching souls. God wants people to be saved. The second priority, or the second interest of our Heavenly Father, is found in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we see that it is important to God for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God. God is interested in that. God wants to see people filled with His power, that they could live a supernatural life here on the earth. The third priority of our Heavenly Father is found in the epistles, all the letters to the churches. We see that God is interested in spiritual growth, that we would grow spiritually, that people wouldn't remain infants, that they would grow and mature in the things of the Lord. He doesn't want us to be children. These are his main objectives. This is what the church should be focusing on. These three things is what the church should be focusing on. Getting the lost people saved, getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, and growing people up spiritually, discipling people, getting people to know who they are in Christ Jesus, having people understand the Word of God. These are the important things to the Lord, and they should be important to us. So today we're going to take a closer look at the number one priority of God, and that is caring about the lost, that we should care about people who are unsaved. We should care about people who do not know God. More than anything else, God is interested in people getting saved. He cares about the lost. I want to read from Matthew, the 18th chapter. This really describes that our Heavenly Father cares about the lost. Our Heavenly Father cares about lost people. Jesus is saying, he says in verse 12, he says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our Heavenly Father cares about lost people. Our Heavenly Father cares about that one who has gone astray. He cares. We know that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," right? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much that he gave up his Son to save us. God, our Heavenly Father, cares about lost people. We also see from the scriptures that Jesus cares about lost people. I love what it says there in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10. It says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus cares about lost people. Jesus willingly gave up his life. He willingly gave up his life for lost people. He went to the cross. He paid the price of a sinner because he cares about lost people. He has a passion for souls. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 30, it says, Jesus speaking, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but will do the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus didn't do his own thing when he came to earth. He says, I'm doing the will of my Heavenly Father. He lived his life in obedience. He lived his life in perfection. He lived his life to the Father so that he could win the lost. Who else cares about the lost? The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is interested in lost people. The Holy Spirit is interested in lost people. In John, the 16th chapter, we read there, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit here. Jesus is saying, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Jesus, as we know, went into heaven. But he says, as I go, I will send to you a Helper. He was referring to the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Then he goes on to explain what he meant. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So we see that Jesus is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he will do. He said that when he comes, he's not going to condemn people because of their sin. The Holy Spirit is not a condemner, but rather he said that he'll come and convict them. Convict them. He'll point it out because they have not received Jesus. In verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. There is a specific job of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Jesus described him as a helper. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you and help you. And when you mess up, he'll convict you. He'll point it out to you so that you can get it right. You can receive forgiveness. And the Bible also tells us that he will speak to us about our own lives. He'll guide us in truth. And he'll speak to us. He'll remind us of the things that Jesus said to us. He cares about the lost. The Holy Spirit cares about us. It's plain to see that he is interested in lost people. He is always working, trying to bring people into the kingdom of God. There's another group of people, a group in the Bible, that are interested in the lost. The Bible describes that the angels in heaven are interested in lost people. In Luke 15, verse 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The angels are excited when someone gets born again. When a sinner gives their heart to the Lord, the angels rejoice. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels are interested in lost people. As you read your Bible, you'll find out that even the devil is interested in lost people. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What is he saying here? That the God, little g, God of this world, the devil, he blinds people so that they don't see the glorious light of the gospel, that they wouldn't get saved. The enemy is working against people. He is working against people so that they will not get saved. He doesn't want anyone to get saved because he doesn't want people to love God. He does all that he can to keep people in the power of his darkness. Revelations 12 talks about the enemy, that he is the accuser of the brethren, who accuses people before God night and day. He's a liar and he's a thief, and he opposes people. He's interested in the lost. He wants to keep them lost. He works hard to deceive people and to lie to people, to keep them entangled in sin. He tells them that God is making all these bad things happen to them, and that God is angry at them, and God doesn't love them. The devil is interested in lost people. How many people today have those kinds of thoughts going on in their minds? God doesn't love me. God doesn't help me. God doesn't care about me. Where do those thoughts come from? They come from the enemy. He's blinding their eyes to the glorious truth of the gospel. People who have become bitter towards God, angry towards God for one thing or another, they have bought the lie of the enemy, and he's been able to darken their eyesight with those blinders. But you know what? We have a solution. We can pray. We have authority over the enemy, and we can remove those blinders. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's not the end of the story. There's another group in the Word of God that are interested in lost people. And that's the people in hell. I want to read you a story this morning from Luke, the 16th chapter. This is an account of an actual event of someone in hell. This is about a beggar named Lazarus. He was a poor beggar, and he would sit at the rich man's gate and hope that he would get some food. And there was a rich man. He lived in wealth and opulence and had all the good things. And both of these men died, and they went into eternity. That's what the story is. Verse 22, it says, "So it was, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. When he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment. I am tormented in this flames." Let's just back up a moment. Abraham's bosom, that's where Lazarus is. The Bible records that Father Abraham was there comforting the beggar Lazarus. Jesus had not yet died on the cross and paid the sacrifice for men to go to heaven. Abraham's bosom was across from hell. It's good for you to understand the dynamics here. Hell is, the Bible describes that it's under the earth or in the center of the earth or wherever you want to call it. But hell was a place of torment, a place of where the flame never goes out, where people are tormented night and day. Here we have the story where Abraham is comforting the poor man, Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom, and there's a conversation going on, and they're across from one another. We know that the Bible tells us when Jesus was raised from the dead, he led captivity captive, and meaning that he took all the people out of Abraham's bosom and brought them to heaven. So this is the story here. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." What was the rich man saying? He says, "I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to hell. I want Lazarus to go and talk to them so that they don't come to this place of torment." Someone in hell is interested in lost people. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." So people in hell are concerned about the lost. People are interested. You know, you think about people in hell, they're interested in two things. We see that the rich man, he said, first of all, he's interested in himself. He said, "Send Lazarus to cool my tongue." People in hell are selfish. There'll be no parties in hell, as the world describes. Hell is not going to be a fun place where all the sinners go. Hell is not a party. There is torment. Torment. People don't throw parties there in hell. They're also interested in the lost. They don't want people to have the same fate that they have. The only group left that I haven't talked about yet this morning is the church. And unfortunately, as a whole, we are the group that seems to be the least concerned about the lost. Well, we're fixing to change that. We are too busy getting blessed. We are too busy getting our prayers answered. Too busy getting things from God. Too busy fighting amongst ourselves. We are the only group that can do something about the lost. We are the only group that can do something about the lost. Angels are not commissioned to win the lost. People in hell are not commissioned to win the lost. God the Father is not going to come down and win the lost. Jesus is not going to come down and win the lost. We are commissioned. We are commissioned, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to win the lost. And if we want to increase our influence in the world for the lost, we will have to maintain our fervency for them. We have to stir that up on the inside of us. This is God's number one priority. Number one. Number one priority. This is God's number one priority. And it's maybe 56 on our list. We have got to change our priorities. We have got to come in line with what God wants for the world and for us. God has commissioned us, the church, to reach the lost. And we have to care. Otherwise, they will perish. You know, we need to rekindle our zeal about being born again. We have to stir that up on the inside. We have to be fervent. We have to love people. So many of us are in love with our own life. And we want God to bless our life. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with having God's provision in your life. God wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. He wants you to have a good, fruitful life. But He also wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to put Him first. What is His priority? His priority is people. And yet we are so busy. We are so busy with our own life. We are so busy doing this and doing that. And we have our prayer list. Lord, I need this and I need that and I need this. Oh, don't forget about that. I need that too and I need this too. Lord, give me, and I need it. But Lord, what about people? What about people? We are here for people, yet we spend very little time being concerned about them. Oh, that person over there, they always need prayer. Their life is always a mess. Well, go over and help them. Go over and pray with them. Go over and disciple them. Go over and teach them. Go over and show them how to walk in victory. Go over there and teach them how to pray. Go over and show them the Word of God so that they can get the victory in their life. We get the victory in our lives so that we can be more useful for God in the kingdom. God gives us provision. God gives us blessing. God heals our bodies. God gives us encouragement. God gives us His Word so that we can be more useful winning the lost. Boy, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. We need to move to the top of our list. Lord, salvation. Salvation. Do you have any family members who don't know Jesus? The Bible calls them lost people. Why are they lost? Because they don't know Jesus. They are not on their way to heaven. You're either going into heaven or you're going into hell. There's nowhere in between. You don't stay on this planet and haunt people. You don't go to purgatory. You don't go to some cloud and sit on a cloud with a harp and hope that you become an angel or hope that you become good enough to get into heaven. No, it's either heaven or hell. There is nowhere else. The moment you take your last breath here in this natural life, you go into eternity. You are an eternal being. You are an eternal being. You are going to live forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without ceasing. And you will spend eternity in one or two places. God's desire is that you spend eternity with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He wants you to come to heaven. He wants you to be in His presence. He wants you to be, forevermore with Him. But those that reject Jesus, those that don't want to receive Him as Lord and Savior, they spend eternity in hell. And the Bible describes hell in such detail. We read a little bit about it here in this story. Where the suffering never ends, where the darkness never ends. On and 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 on throughout eternity. When a person goes to hell, there is no further chance to be reconciled to God. It's forever. So when we think of eternity in that way, it should motivate us to think about people's eternal destination. We should be concerned when someone is not on their way to heaven. We get concerned when someone gets a cold. Oh, we should pray for them that their cold would go away. Yeah, well, that's good, but how much more their eternal destination? They could survive through a cold, but they won't survive through eternity in hell. We need to care about the lost. Everybody else cares about the lost. We read about it this morning. Even the devil cares about the lost. We, as the church, need to care about lost people. So what are we doing? What can we do for the lost? Well, there are many things that we can do for the lost. First and foremost, you can pray. You can pray that lost people come in. You can pray. Remember we read there where the enemy put blinders on people's eyes so that they will not see the glorious light of the gospel. You as a believer can pray that those blinders come off. There is ways that you can pray effectively for lost people. You don't want to just say, oh Lord, save them, save them, save them, save them, save them, save them, save them. Oh Lord, save them, save them, save them, save them. There's a better way to pray. There's a better way to pray. And you can begin right here by praying that the blinders that are on your loved ones, on the people you work with, your neighbors, your relatives, your nieces, your nephews, your people that you know. Do you know anyone that doesn't know Jesus? They probably have blinders on their eyes. They think wrong thoughts about God. They've heard the lies whispered in their ears. They think that God is angry at them. They think that God doesn't love them. They think that God has rejected them. They think that they're not good enough to be saved. Those are all lies of the enemy. And they blind their eyes so that they don't come to Jesus. You as a believer, the Bible says that we have authority. Luke 10:19 says that we have authority over snakes and serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You can take authority over that darkness in their life. You can pray that those blinders come off, that they could see the glorious light of the gospel. Boy, the Bible says they'll know the truth and the truth shall make them free. Once they see the truth of God's word, once they see the glorious light, once they see the love of God, they will come in. They will come in. And so one way that we can begin to pray is that the blinders come off. We can also pray for laborers to go across their path. The Bible says that the harvest is great, but laborers are few. You can pray that laborers would go across their path. What does that mean? It means that God would send someone in particular. That God would send someone in particular to go across their path that day and share something good with them. God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. That God would have a divine appointment in their life. That God would speak truth into their life through a laborer. You can pray laborers across your loved one's path. That they would come in. I love the scripture that talks about Paul and Apollos. It says Paul planted and Apollos watered. They all had a part to play. One plants, one waters. We all have a part to play in people's salvation. You might not know who someone else is praying for, but maybe you happen to work with them. And you didn't know that that person over there was praying, but then God taps you on the shoulder and say, you know, go over there and talk to that person today and tell them that I love them. Well, you're an answer to someone else's prayer. You're a laborer going out to tell people good things. And you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have 28 chapters of the Bible memorized. You can use the truth that you already know, that you've been born of God, that God loves you. That's enough right there. It's His kindness that leads us towards repentance. It's God's mercy, God's grace in our life that leads us towards salvation. So we have a part to play. We can take authority over the enemy. We can bind the enemy. We can remove the blinders. We can have people go across their path, laborers to go across their path. We also can preach the gospel. We can share the good news with other people. You can share what God has done in your life. You can share a scripture with someone and tell them that God loves them. That makes a difference in people's life. And maybe they won't kneel down in front of you and say the sinner's prayer, but you might move them another step closer. You might move them another step closer, and the person after you might actually pray with them. But it's all of us working together. It's all of us working together, doing what God has told us to do. You know, some of us, we feel a little intimidated because, well, I'm not going to knock on someone's door and ask them if they want prayer, but you can share your life. Live your life in front of them, and it might move them another step closer. They might, on the way home, hear a preacher on the radio and give their heart to Jesus. You're not the Savior. He is. We all do our part. We all do our part, and he orchestrates this whole plan. You know, you think about how you got saved. Maybe you didn't get saved the first time you heard something. Maybe you didn't get saved the first time you're someone, whoever it is that witnessed to you. You know, God uses different people. God has different ways of doing it. But if we'll all tune in, if we'll all do our part, if we'll all have a concern for the lost, God will do great things. But we have to be concerned. We have to care about lost people. We're the ones that are commissioned to do something about it. And if we don't, who will? God will have to keep looking for someone that's willing. I don't know about you, but I'm willing. I'm willing. The Bible says the willing and the obedient, they'll eat the best of the land, Isaiah. We have to be willing. Are you willing to do God's will? Are you willing to do your part? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to say? God can use your own personality. You don't have to be a fiery preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to go knock on doors if you don't want to. But God will use you. He'll use your life. But you have to be willing. And you have to care about lost people. You have to care. And if you don't care, you can ask God to change your heart. That's the important part. You know, sometimes we come to church and I know I'm supposed to be doing that, but I just don't feel it. It's just not in my heart. And you can ask God to change your heart. Lord, change that in me. Help me to love people. Help me to care about lost people. Help me to love others as you love them. Help me to see them the way you see them. Lord, help me be concerned about their eternal destination. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to get to that place where I'm willing to go. Help me to be a laborer. Help me to be a person that prays the blinders off and binds the enemy. Lord, help me. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to be a soul winner. And God will use you with your personality in your own ways to be a soul winner. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to be the preconceived idea that you have of what a soul winner is. God can use your relationship with Him and influence the lives of others if you are willing. And if you're not willing, begin by asking Him, Lord, change me. Change me. You are not stuck. You are not stuck being an uncaring person. You are not stuck being a person who doesn't care about the lost. You can change. You can become a soul winner. You can be a person who prays for lost people. You can be a person who witnesses to lost people. You can be a group of people who love lost people. We're going to do two things. We're going to first pray for ourselves, and then we're going to pray for someone that we know that is not born again. You know, I believe that you have to do things on purpose. I believe you have to target things in prayer. And you can't just pray, oh, Lord, get everybody saved. How about people specifically in your life? Is there someone that you could target, someone that you could hone in on and begin to pray for their salvation in particular, that you could begin to focus on? You know, and as you get that person saved, God will give you another one to pray for. There's not a shortage of lost people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you care about lost people. Jesus cares about lost people. Angels care about lost people. Even the devil cares about lost people. And Lord, we too as the church, we care about lost people. Father, I pray for every heart here. Lord, if there's any hardness in us, if there's anything in us that's not pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, if we've grown cold toward people, if our heart is callous toward people, if there's things in us that we don't want to do, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to begin to change our hearts. Lord, change us from the inside out. Lord, help us to love people. Help us to care about the lost. Father, we know that you don't want them to perish, and it is your number one priority. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, that we would be a people who love lost people. God, that we would have a heart for those who do not know you. God, that it would be our priority as it is yours. And Lord, help us to begin to pray. Help us to begin to take authority over the enemy. Help us to pray for laborers. Lord, help us to pray effectively, Lord, for lost people, that they would come into the kingdom. And Lord, we specifically pray this morning for someone in our lives. Lord, if there's a lost person in our life that doesn't know you, Lord, we just lift them up to you today. I want you to think of that person and just lift them up to God today. Lord, send laborers across their path. Lord, we pray that the blinders would come off. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus, that he would not be able to steal, kill, or destroy, that he would not blind them, that he would not lie to them. God, that they would come to know the truth, and that truth would set them free. God, we claim them for the kingdom of God. We thank you for laborers to go across their path. God, that you'd have divine appointments set up. Lord, that they would have God interactions, Lord, that they would hear of your goodness, that they would hear of your mercy, that they would hear of your great love, that they would hear of your compassion. Oh, it's your kindness that leads them towards repentance. Father, we thank you that they will hear the good news, that you are a loving, merciful God who loves them very much. And we thank you that they're coming into the kingdom. Father, we begin to exercise our faith, God, that they would come in out of the darkness into the glorious light. Lord, no one is beyond your reach. No one is beyond your reach. Your arm is not too short to save. God, we thank you for their salvation. Lord, we're going to continue to lift them up and pray for them, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do great things. Oh, we thank you for salvations. We thank you for lost people getting saved. In Jesus' name, amen.